doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
Like you. you. Hallelujah to God be the glory. I'm telling you, there is no one like him. We serve an awesome God. He is worthy to be praised. And I thank God for Jesus today. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. And yet will I praise him. Yet will I give him the glory, the honor, and the praise for everything he is and everything he continues to do in my life. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. There's a praise in my belly, I'm telling you, and I got to get it out. Amen. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. The saints used to say God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I'm joined here with my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. And we have a special guest on today, Apostle Stephen Amica. And we are just excited about what God is going to do here on today. I'm excited to see that the switchboard is filling up. I thank God for each and every one of you calling in to listen to the broadcast on today. And I pray that you will call in later on and let your voice be heard, because we have a hot topic on today. I'm telling you, we're going to be talking about marriage. We're going to be talking about relationships. We will be talking about other hot topics that are on your mind and that are on the mind of our special guests today. So we ask you not to be shy when we open up the phone lines. Just call in and let your voice be heard. And I want to encourage somebody on today. I want to encourage you on today that no matter what you're going through, you heard the song, there's no God like our God, because our God is able. If you just believe, and sometimes we have to pray and ask God to help our unbelief, because there are times when circumstances are happening in our lives and we don't know how we're going to make it through. But I'm telling you, just keep your hope in the Lord. I know it sounds like rhetoric, but let me tell you something. If you keep on believing God, God will keep showing up, and he will keep showing out in the middle of your situation. You know, I have to talk like this. I have no choice, because you know what? I'm in the middle of it. You know, I'm in the middle of some things right now that I'm waiting for God to show up in the middle of some circumstances, in the middle of some problems, in the middle of some situations that I know I can't handle by myself. So I'm in the middle of it. I'm a witness, amen, that God is able. You know what? And I can't say what my circumstances say. I have to continue to say what God has said. And God said that he's working together in the middle of it, all things together for my good. God has worked it out. You heard my testimony last week. And if you didn't, I encourage you to go back and listen to the archives. You heard my testimony on last week. I'm going through. I am still yet going through. But you hear this joy in my voice? I'm telling you, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. So don't let the world take your joy. Don't let your circumstances take your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. My God, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're ready, amen, to bring our guest on the air. You know, I'm just so excited about this gentleman, this man of God. Amen. He truly is a man of God, and I'm excited about him. Amen. Apostle Stephen Amica. Hallelujah. He is our friend. Amen. He is a friend that has been with us. Amen. And he calls in so often. He just calls us so often. And we are just so blessed that he thinks it not robbery to take time out of his day to call and let his voice be heard on the Woman to Woman Man show. We are just so honored that he comes on a regular basis. And we know that he's busy. We know that he has things to do. But we're glad that he takes time out of his schedule to come and be with us, and we're excited that he's here. I asked him, you know, I got tired of hearing his cameos, you know, just cameo appearances, and I said, you know what, Apostle Amica, when you get some time, Pastor Anthony and I would love to have you come and be our very special guest, where we would give you the floor pretty much and have you go and begin to talk about what's on your heart. So Apostle Emeka, I didn't get a bio from him in advance. I did not get a bio from him in advance. I figured, like most people that have Facebook, that I would be able to go to his Facebook account and get a bio. But when I went to his Facebook account, there was no bio there. So he just simply said that he was a man who loves the Lord and wants to be pleasing to God. And I just thank God, you know, for the heart of this servant, for the heart of this servant, that he's not looking for glory for himself, but he wants to glorify God. Apostle Emeka, Stephen Emeka, has a beautiful, beautiful wife. He's happily married, amen. And this woman of God is just a powerful woman of God that stands by his side. Apostle Emeka is also a pastor. He is the pastor of Deliverance by Faith Ministries down in Florida. I believe his ministry is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He lives in Florida now by way of Brooklyn, New York. So you'll hear the accent, a little bit of Brooklyn, a little bit of Florida in the house. And we just thank God for him. Apostle Emeka, if you're there, I just need you to press 1 so that I can see you and put you on the air. We do have someone on there with 1 press, but I don't recognize that number. So we're going to bring Apostle Emeka on the air, amen. Without any further delay, we welcome to the broadcast Apostle Stephen Emeka. God bless you, sir. Welcome.
God bless you. God bless you, prophetess, and to Pastor Anthony, and to all of those that are listening, counting that robbery to listen to this broadcast today. I'm so excited about what God is doing. I'm so honored to be here. And after all that you said concerning me, it really blessed me. I want to say thank you. Thank you, prophetess, for those kind words. I just want to be a man of God. I just want to, you know. Sometimes people, they have good bios and what have you. I'm, you know, like prophetess said, I was born in Brooklyn. I now live in Fort Lauderdale, and you know, like they say, you know, the date of birth and that dash and the day you died, that's all the stuff you did in between. And all that stuff I've been through, you know, what everybody else, I guess, has went through. The devil tried on several attempts to kill me because he did not want me to be successful in being the man of God that I am today and even what the Lord is making me to be. So that's my bio. I thank God for that, that he spared my life. My testimony, I had 3 strokes. The Lord completely and totally delivered me. My blood sugar was 1250, and my wife had to rush me to the hospital. But even in that, the Lord completely delivered me and brought me out of that. And so I'm just honored by God to still be here, that I may serve him and be his servant. And servant is too high of a word, to be his slave. That's who I consider myself, to be the slave of God. Whatever the master says for me to do, that's my goal. Whatever he say to say, that's what I say. Whatever he want me to do, that's what I do. Yes, master, I obey. I obey, master. I obey whatever you say, because God's been too good. He's been, he's been very, very, he's been awesome in my life. I ran the streets of New York, just like so many other people. And I'm only one of the only ones that is still alive out of the people that I ran with. And I count that to be a tremendous honor that the Lord will suffice me to still be here when others are dead and gone and sleeping in their grave. And some have not even had the chance to give their life to the Lord. But the Lord allowed me to be delivered from all those vices and things that I've done and to still be here. And so I owe God the rest of my life. I owe him. I have to give it to him. because you've been so awesome in my life. I thank you again for giving me the space to say a few words on this broadcast. And I want to say, listening to the prophetess just now, and she was saying, you know, about going through. Let me say this to the body that we're listening to. The Bible says that we are to be counted worthy by God to deal with certain things. That's an honor.
Wow.
That's an
wow.
honor. That's an honor that we are counted worthy. Worthy. Yeah. Not only to be entrusted with the gospel, but to be put in the same category with Peter and Paul and John and even Jesus, to be put in that same entourage of people that have been for the gospel's sake, for the things of God.
Yeah.
That God would count us so worthy that he will allow us to have tasted and seen what they have seen, the patriarchs. That's an honor. That's an honor. So, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy because this what we're going through. The scripture says what we're going through is to be not to be compared to the future weight of glory. What God is making us to be, man. Come on, you know, this is. I'm going into what the Lord has put in my spirit to talk about today. But if we can just look at it that way, God is making us, he's making us just like he made Peter, just like he made the disciples, the apostles, the early church, just like he made them, even some of the Old Testament saints, just like he made them and brought them through certain things they had to go through. Look at Joseph. Joseph spent how many years in prison for something that he really didn't do. But
yeah.
God was raising him up to be the second in command of all of Egypt. Wow. Who would have known that's what God was making him to be when he was running for not only his life, but to not be molested and raped by Potiphar's wife.
Go ahead.
This was learn, teach, but he seen it in the beginning. He said, I've had a dream that I was above all the stars. The Lord showed him, but he didn't, and that's what God shows us. He shows us where he wants to take us. He says, I know your end before your beginning. And he'll take us through stuff, but it's to make us.
Yes. Yeah.
Worthy and meet for the master's use, that we could be used by God. Wow.
Wow.
This is all. He's awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome.
That is just so powerful, and it puts everything in a whole new perspective. It just puts everything in a whole new perspective. Like when you look at it like that, instead of like, oh, I'm just going through. You know, and that's just how. Thank you for just shining the light on that through scripture for us. Erico 347, we see your hand. I don't know if you had your hand raised intentionally, and we just thank God for you being with us. Apostle, their hand has been raised. This person's hand has been raised for a minute. You want to take this call real quick and
go ahead.
Get
go ahead.
Back to what you were saying. Amen. Erico 347, you're on the air. I don't know if you had your hand raised intentionally.
You have my number?
Yes.
Hello. Well, I'm Apostle Amica's brother.
Oh, God. Apostle
Amica?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's
so good to call in. So I was just listening to what y'all saying. You know, the Lord took me through a lot of hell, and I was just listening to what he was saying. And, you know, in order for you to get somewhere, the Lord has to take you through something, like he was saying. He has to take you through something for you to get to where he wants you in his glory. I can testify that, you know, the Lord has taken me through a lot. The Lord has taken me through a lot, you know, being born disabled, you know, being born disabled and having my father pray over me, you know, because the doctors was telling my parents, you know, that I wasn't going to make it, and, you know, to take me to the highest window that they have in the house and throw me out because I wasn't going to make it. Here I am now 40-something years later, you know, and that's only by the grace of God, you know. And, you know, just recently the Lord has awakened me up out of a coma, and my brother came through with me through that, through fasting and praying. So as he was saying, I owe the Lord a lot too, you know, and praise be to God, you know, because of so many things that the Lord has brought me through. And that's only a few things that I mentioned. But, you know, if people was to really sit back and to think about things that God has brought them through, you know, you wouldn't have enough time to think and to talk about all the things that God has brought you through. You know,
wow.
But God deserves all the praise. And
wow.
I was just sitting and listening.
Wow.
Monique,
wow.
To what he was talking about. You know,
wow.
But I thank God for how the Lord uses me, and he just counted me worthy, you know, in my old selfish ways and things that I do and the things that he has yet has counted me worthy enough to yet be in the land of living and to use me for his glory, not for mine, but for his glory, to do and to say and to be someone that he has molded and made me to minister to people in the way and the fashion that he's accounted me to do. I give him praise for that.
My. Well, you sure have blessed me today, and you keep on praising him. And thank you so much. That's a powerful, I want to say before I go any further, that's some powerful testimony that you just gave. Apostle Amica, I had no idea, you know, how God blesses your family. And I know you're going to share some more with us. And I would like your brother, what's your name, sir?
Victor Amica.
Victor, I would like you to definitely stay around and come back later in the broadcast. Your brother's going to share some things with us, and we would love to have you come back and talk with us some more when we open up the lines again later. We sure would like to put you back on the air.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
So stay with us. Apostle, did you have anything to say to your brother?
No, I just... You know, he just, he blessed me too. I was not thinking about his testimony and for him to share his testimony. My brother was born with spinal bifida.
Uh-huh.
And he had to go at birth into emergency surgery to go in and to fix his spine. And as a result of that, he is, you know, like he said, born with disabilities. His mental and every other capacity is, thank God, is intact. But it's just that, you know, he's not able to walk. He's wheelchair bound. But, you know, we thank God for him. And as he said, the doctor told my parents, says, don't put no love in him because he's not going to make it. He's not going to be here that much longer, but like you said, 40-something years later, he's
wow.
still here.
And still praising God. Somebody needs
yeah,
to hear
yeah.
his testimony today. My God.
Yeah. He's still here, and I thank God for him. I love him dearly. I have one brother and three sisters, and we're all saved. We're all in the house of God. We're all in ministry, and I thank God for my siblings, that we all love the Lord and we all worship and pray. My father was a pastor, and my mother is pastoring there in Brooklyn now. And so we grew up in the knowledge of the Lord. We grew up knowing the Lord and what he's capable of, and just knowing God. We knew him because our parents walked holy. That's one of the reasons why my stance for holiness is so strong, like it is, because my parents were good examples of holiness.
Wow. Well, I sure
I
that's a powerful
God.
Testimony, and we want to have Victor come back when we open up the lines again. We're going to have him come back and talk to us some more before the broadcast is over. So, Apostle, I'm giving you the floor to just go ahead and share what's in your heart, and then we'll be opening up the lines and talking with some of the callers and and just letting the Lord have his way today. So let the Lord use you, and Pastor Emmy and I here, and we're giving you the floor.
Okay, you're welcome to chime in anytime through the you know what I'm speaking of. If the Lord drops something in you or Pastor Anthony, you're welcome, more than welcome to interrupt and give you know your remarks. I wanted to talk today about y'all remember growing up. And like somebody, especially, you know, when you see the little magicians and they say, ta-da, that means like, here, it is, it happened. And we, as people of God, we are looking for our ta-da moment. And, you know, we go through, the Lord speaks certain things, and I guess I'm kind of guilty of that. And the Lord said, oh, you're going to minister to thousands and you're going to preach all over the world and all of this. And so instantly I thought that's what I was going to do, not realizing that there was a time of preparation before that. And that's what I want to talk about today. One phase of the process. And we'll probably talk about other phases of the process, but we all have to remember that there is a process. There is a process. Everybody you read in the Bible, and I'm just thinking right now, as soon as I said that the Lord brought back Jesus, was in the, here's Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, God in the flesh. He still had to go through the process. Wow. He still had to be raised and taught and learn certain things. He was, the Bible says, after he was baptized by John, he came up, and immediately after the baptism, and the voice spoke and said, this is my beloved son, of whom I'm well pleased. The Bible says, immediately the Holy Ghost took him and drove him into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, that's Jesus. If Jesus has to be processed, then what do you think you have to do? We're looking for instant because we live in the instant world. We're looking for when the Lord speak it, bam, here it is. Ta-da, here we go. Here it is. The Lord said, okay, I see you writing books. Okay, wow, here it is. And I see you traveling all over. Bam, here it is. I see you minister 10,000. Boom, here it is. We're always looking for that ta-da moment. Ta-da, here it is. Bingo, bing, zing, bam. Because of the world, the society we live in, microwave, ta-da, bam. Here's a whole meal done in 10 minutes. A whole whatever you put in the microwave. Maybe some of you not old enough, Jiffy Pop popcorn. You had to take that silver pan and put it on the stove and it'll shake it and shake it, and then you have popcorn. Well, you don't have to do that today. All you gotta do is throw the bag in the microwave and ta-da, here you go, popcorn.
That's right.
You're eating it, bam, it's there. It's there, and too many people in the body of Christ. Thank you, Pastor Anthony. Too many people in the church, in the body, thinking that I don't have to go through nothing because God said I'm going to be this. But without the process, let me throw this out to you. Without the process, you will not be successful at whatever God has called you to be. Because there's in the process, just like, okay, thank you. Just like school, you got to go to school in order to get an education. You got to go to that process of getting up in the morning, going, traveling to the school, sitting there. All you know what that is? That's disciplining you. All those things are disciplining you. Getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You get up now at 6 because you got to be to school. You got to travel That's another phase of discipline. Sitting in the classroom, or sitting in the college laboratory or whatever, and you're sitting there, and you're being processed because now you're listening, you're taking notes, you're learning, you're reading, and you're becoming, and then after the course of 4 years, here they said, here's a diploma to state that you have learned after you have been tested. Oh, my God. After you have been tested, and now we see you have passed the test, now we can give you a degree or the diploma. But you don't get the degree before you have been, what, tested. You have to be tested. That's part of the process. And there's too many people, as the Bible says, you have went out and made yourselves. This is a big failure in the church. That too many people have went out and made themselves what they are to be, what they want to be, and not have been processed. The Lord spoke to me, he says, in your process, I will give you the character and integrity that goes along with the office that you're to walk in. That's a powerful thing there. Because you see a lot of, when you see people who have, you can tell they have not been processed by God because they don't have the character and the integrity. Uh-oh. That's why people in so-called high offices, they do what they do because they don't have character and integrity. Because they have not been made by God. They went to the head of the class and not have been processed by God. You just jump up, bam, here I am. Make me this. Nobody has sanctioned that you are that. You just got up and said, I am myself. I made myself. Who made you? Who said, who in the earth realm has confirmed what God said about you in the spiritual realm? Nobody in the earth realm. You just said it yourself. Who told you you were to be an apostle? Well, the Lord said I'm supposed to be an apostle. Okay, that's good. We accept that. But now who in the earth sees the apostleship on your life that they will call you and say that God has anointed you or ordained you to be an apostle, to be a minister, to be an elder, to be a pastor, to be a bishop, to be a prophet? Who somebody in the earth realm has to do that, so that it will confirm what God has said. Okay. See, we want to hear about that when it comes to houses, cars, and money. Oh, the Lord spoke to me the other day, and he said he wants me to be a millionaire. Oh, thank the Lord. But then when you get up in the prophetic line, and the person says, oh, child, I see God blessing you with millions of dollars. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He just confirmed. Well, the same way that was confirmed, Your office has to be confirmed. Okay, I said that to say this. Part of the process, especially if you want to be used by God, if you really want to be used by God, see, the thing about this is, as long as God sees you, you're not ready. When God looks at Stephen Amaker, and he still sees Stephen Amaker is not ready for him to use.
Jesus.
It's just as that. What God is looking for, he's looking for his own reflection. When he sees me, he doesn't want to see Stephen. He wants to see how much of Stephen does, watch this, has died to Stephen, and now, okay, let me read the scripture. Here we go. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the question is, to all of us that's listening, when were you crucified?
Jesus.
You must be crucified.
Come on.
I was in a service a couple of weeks ago, and they had a wooden cross up on the platform, and the Holy Ghost arrested my attention to that cross, and I'm saying, wow. So the Lord said, now, I want you to put a cross in your church. And he said, I want you to put nails in that cross. One thing about the cross, when we look at the cross, we see beauty and glamour. And oh, that's a beautiful cross. Oh, and especially, you know, in other churches, they have beautiful gold and emerald and just the crosses. The cross is not a sign of beauty. The cross signifies that something must die.
Jesus.
That's what the cross says. Something, anything come up on this cross, it got to die. Because that's what this cross is a place of death. That's what it is. The cross signifies death. And okay, more scripture. Mark the 8th chapter.
Yes.
It says, if any man, Mark 8:34, yes.
Okay.
If any man, wherefore shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up, let me read the whole scripture. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. First, what? Deny himself. So that's what Jesus had to do. He had to deny himself. He said, Father, if there's any other way that I can do this, it just can be done. But he said, no, I come for this purpose. So he said, now, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What that means? Then you have to die. You have to die. You have to die to your what? Your flesh. Die to your will. Die to your way. Die to what your mindset. Die to the way you think of things. I was preaching Sunday night, and I was talking about out of Romans, the 8th chapter, how people want to make up their own. I'm sorry, Romans, the 10th chapter. And says, for they, two says, I will bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but according to knowledge. But
yes.
not according to knowledge, for they have ignorance of God's righteousness and going about to establish, watch this, to establish their own righteousness, but not have submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yes.
We want to do it our way. And that same chapter says, now don't so 8:6 verse says, but the righteousness of faith speaking on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. And 7 verse says, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead.
Yes.
So you cannot bring God down on your level, nor can you bring him up to your level. That's what he's saying. Don't bring me down, because the level has already been set, and we have to come up to the level of God, not to that God's going to come. As I travel and I minister in so many places, and I ask people, I said, Are you safe? Yeah, I'm safe. Sure, I'm safe. Yeah, yeah. That's no problem. Then they say, my next question is, do you live holy? Yes, I live holy. Yeah, I live holy. I said, okay, do you live holy according to the word? See, now you have established your own rules of what holiness is.
Not according
to the word.
Yes.
Come on, Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor Anthony. Jump in.
No. I really wanted you to continue just a little longer because you said something so much. As you started out with the ta-da, we want things instantaneously. And there was a scripture that popped into my spirit right away, and I kind of want you to elaborate on this a little bit. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I think it's that 11th verse, and it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not given to the swift,
mm-hmm.
nor battle to the strong,
mm-hmm.
neither bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor watch this favor to men of skill. But time and chance happens to us all. Time and chance happens to us all. And what you said, you mainly highlighted what's going on in God's church, meaning the fivefold gifts or whatever capacity you're called in the local church or the body of Christ to operate in. But one of the beautiful things about Christ is that he goes outside of the church. He wants us to be good husbands, good fathers, good employees, good employers. He wants us to be good citizens. And Christianity transcends all aspects of our lives. So what you said, sometimes those of us who have been faithful, sometimes we get in a hurry, and it's really up to God's timing. That Kairos moment. Help us how to recognize that Kairos moment, and also help us on how to wait on it, number one. And number two, you said even while it looked like God is not at work, he's always working on us, even while we're headed toward a certain destiny. Just talk about those two things, that God is always at work, even when we don't see him working. Sometimes I just believe he's working on our attitude. He's working on some characteristics of ours that are not pleasing to him. But go ahead and elaborate, because you talked about the process. Why is there a process? Yeah. Why do we have to go through what we go through?
The scripture says, I will perfect that which concerneth you. And the process is the perfecting what God is perfecting. Like Pastor Anthony just said, certain things, your attitude, your demeanor, the way you look at things, going to school, going back to the scenario of going to school. You're sitting there, and whether or not you realize it or not, but you are constantly learning. Now, one of the things the Bible says, always, forever learning, but never coming into the knowledge of. Well, the world is always evolving, but there's some things that we still haven't gotten hold of yet. And in order to be effective, see, right now, God is not just putting out people. Because he needs people to preach. He needs warriors to go on the battlefield and get victory. The devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And we have to, as warriors of God, must now become soul winners, not church builders.
Come on. And one of the things I said it in my last word that I ministered at our church, how we learned how to do church and become experts in the local church, yet we miss it sometimes in just life. And when did the message of the gospel change? When did it become about us and not about God? Because there, Apostle, you've been around a while, and that's why we thank God that you took this opportunity to come talk to us. When did the transition happen when we began to put the spotlight so much on our own endeavors and our own personal victories and our own agenda?
It happened about 20 years ago when the church converted from the message, when the church reverted from the message of Am I still on?
Yes, we hear you, yes.
Okay. The message, when we converted the message from holiness and spirituality to the things of the flesh.
From holiness, not necessarily to prosperity, but the things of the
right.
flesh.
Right. Well, prosperity, because
prosperity is a good thing.
It's a good thing, but it's been preached in the wrong context.
Okay.
It's a good thing, but it's been preached in the wrong context. Because 3 John, we always quote that scripture, beloved above all things, I wish that you be in health and be in health, and even as your, at the end it says, even as your soul prosper.
Yes.
See, the soul prosper must be first. Your soul, your spiritual man, must prosper. Jesus said that you have to seek ye first. The first thing you must do is to go and seek God for his righteousness.
Right.
And then the next verse says, and all these other things will be added. You only have to pray. So what the message has come out now is that seek the stuff and don't seek God. Don't line up with what God is. Just believe God and pay this vow and give this offering and everything will be all right. That's the wrong context. That's not the way. That's not the way of God. God wants you to be a holy people first.
Jesus.
Then he said, the stuff that you desire, you won't even have to pray for it because it will automatically come to you.
That is so powerful. You are so on to something. Because sometimes, you know, we got Christians who are tithing, they're praying, they feel as though they're doing the right things, and they sometimes still think they're coming up short. And sometimes God is saying, you know, we need to look a little closer and why am I withholding the blessing? Can you stand to be blessed? Because I've seen it. Sometimes they get a husband or get that career or get something they've been praying for, and sometimes we don't see them anymore. And God wants us to be blessed to be a blessing.
What should separate me? What should separate me? The reason why God is not giving you that what you're praying for, that money, that what you're looking for, that business, because he knows these things, as long as you don't have them, you'll be faithful in everything that you do to God. But as soon as, and we've seen this down through the years, as soon as God answers some people's prayer, bam, like Pastor Anthony said, we don't even see him no more. You don't see him in church. You don't say they're going to stop praying. Oh, we used to be in the midweek service. Now I got to work. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of my business. I got to take care of my husband. On Sunday, oh, well, the family and I, we down in Orlando. We out on vacation. And this is not just 1 week, but it's every week. Now God has become less and less part of your life.
My.
But before he gave you the stuff, he was all your life.
Yes.
The Lord of God who is the head of my life. Now he's the tail of your life. He's not wrong. He's no longer the head because he allows you. And God, right now, you said it earlier. We have to right now. We want my desire. My biggest prayer to God is keep me in your perfect will.
Yes. Come on. That's so powerful, and that should be a prayer of most Christians. If left up to ourselves, sometimes I talk to our people and even remind myself my life before Christ. As you just said, you've had a journey from Brooklyn to Florida, and there's not enough time on this show to tell it all. But God has entrusted you to shepherd a local flock, has entrusted you with a musical gift that opened so many doors for you, has entrusted you with parents that instilled holiness into you at an early age. And that's why even in the latter part of your life, you still are concerned with the message of holiness. And sometimes those are not our biggest selling CDs. Those are not our biggest selling messages, but somebody got to talk about it.
That's it. And that's my mandate, to talk about holiness, to remind the body of Christ that we are living and standing before a holy God, and he still requires us to be holy, regardless of all the other stuff, regardless to the titles, regardless to the ministry, regardless to the marriage, regardless of whatever God allows you to possess in this life. He was still, over above all, he still requires you to be holy.
Yes.
He wants holiness. He wants your holiness. He wants you to be holy. Holy. Not according to your definition, but according to the word of God. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to live holy. Holiness is not speaking in tongues.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
See, that's what a lot of people think. Oh, because I shot, ta-ta-ta-ta. No, that's not holiness. That don't say you holy. Excuse me. That does not say you holy. It says that your life, the fruits of the Spirit is what? Galatians 5. It tells us about the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the fruits of the flesh. And there's too many people who speak in their tongue who still have the fruits of the flesh.
I mean, this broadcast is ordained by God because sometimes the world, you know, one thing about the world, they're smarter than we give them credit for. They look at the church, and I believe, Pastor, even as a pastor, I believe some of them want to come in. They're tired of being in the wilderness. They're tired of being in the cold. But they want to come into a church that is different from the world. They don't want to come into a church that's like the world. And sometimes we'll be amazed at who's watching our individual life before they make an assessment of the universal church. And whether it's our job, our coworkers, we're going to work saying we're Christian, we're telling everybody we went to church on Sunday, and sometimes even our family members, they know we're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and sometimes it doesn't line up with what we're saying. Now, the argument will come, and we have an educated audience at this show. We like to leave people informed. You have quite a few callers today. There are quite a few listeners today. People will listen to the archives. Now, when the message of grace, and grace is what we're under the dispensation of grace. God had me read Deuteronomy 28 chapter today. These blessings will follow you if you obey. And I said, well, God, you know, we're not under the law, we're under grace. And he still said, read Deuteronomy 28, because he said, remind yourself of the blessing. Now, sin is grace abounds all the more. And I always tell myself, I'm never giving you a green light to sin. But speak to that person that feel as though they are trying and still find themselves slipping back.
Well, the slipping back comes according to maturity. as you, my son is 25 years old. Now, when he was a baby, this is what I'm saying carefully now, when he was a baby, he's learning to walk. He would, you know, sometimes he would fall down or whatever. That's because he was a baby. But now that he's a grown man, he should be falling. He should be walking. And so then, as you grow, this is the whole thing. Ta-da! See, you want to come out, you want to get saved today, and ta-da! Tomorrow, you're full-grown Christian. That's not going to happen. You have to go through that process of growing. Okay, you fell today. Thank God. But get up. Keep on moving.
Come on. Yes,
okay, you fell again. Fell again next week. All right. You're still a baby. We expect you to fall to a certain degree. But keep getting back up.
That's
Don't
right.
Don't sit there. Oh, I fell down. Bam. Yeah, I'm going to just stay here. No, get up. Get up and keep on moving. Keep it moving. And if you keep on moving and keep getting up, then the Holy Ghost, that's why he's there, to give you strength. Uh-oh. So don't fall again. Now you done fell twice, you repented, you thank God. That's another reason why people sin, because they don't repent. They apologize.
Now explain the difference, Apostle.
Repent, apologize, says I'm sorry. But I'm capable of doing it again. Repent says, I'm sorry, but I'm turning from. I'm not going that way no more. That's the difference. You're going down the street, you make a wrong turn.
Yes.
Make a wrong turn. You don't keep making wrong turns. You use your watch this, your spiritual GPS, which is the Holy Ghost, to lead you the right way so that you don't keep making the wrong turns.
My God.
That's the repentance. I'm not gonna keep making the wrong turns. I want to make the right turn. I want to do what's right. And that's what repentance says. I'm not gonna keep making the wrong turns. I want to start making the right turn. And as you grow, as you mature, when I was a child, I did childish things. But now that I became a man, I put away the childish thing. And now I walk as a man.
Yes.
As a mature adult. You know, Paul said, I wanted to feed you. I wanted to give you spiritual meat. But I couldn't because you were babies, so you still need the milk. But watch this. Just as a child, you say, now, wait a minute now. Hold up. You're old enough to learn and to know right from wrong. So now you stop doing the wrong because you know what's right.
Yes. Well, Apostle, that's so powerful. We have a full switchboard. We're midway through the show, and we're going to start taking callers. Callers at this time, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line today. I'm so glad you tuned in. Pastor Rebecca and myself, thank God for you. But we want you to participate. We don't want this to be a monologue, but a dialogue, because this man of wisdom, Apostle, has been through a lot. He has won a lot of victories. God has called him to the apostolic office because, hallelujah, from his mother's womb, he was called to be a leader. So I thank God not just for his personal testimony, but the wisdom, the understanding, the discernment that he walk in, the anointing that's on his life. So, callers, we want you to press 1 and call in. If you have a question for Apostle Amica, a question or something you want to interject into this conversation, because I really believe that God, the Spirit of God, is on this line, and I just feel the power of the Holy Spirit, even as Apostle is sharing some of the things on holiness and some of the things on waiting on your promises from God. They are yea and amen, but there is a season. I think about Apostle, when Jesus told his mother, I had it here in my Bible, the second chapter according to John, you know, they was at the marriage and the wedding, and they ran out of wine. And he says in that fourth verse, Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? mine hour is not yet come. Even Jesus, who is deity, knew that it was not time for the first miracle, but his mother just said, do what he says do, and we know that water was turned into wine and the miracle happened. But we as people, we as people of God, got to wait on God's timing. Then we get the full manifestation of the blessing, and we don't have the heartache and the hardship that can come with walking outside of the will of God. So, callers, we want you to call in today. This is just a powerful time, and it's not often that we have a guest like Apostle Amica on our show. So call in, press number one, share what you're going through. Maybe you're going through something. I'll never forget, my wife and I like to share the testimony. We both were drinkers and partiers before we got saved. I was in the clubs. I grew up in the clubs. I grew up with the parties. And in Jamaica, we were still drinking on our honeymoon. We were saved. We were tithing. And we began to argue. And God showed us it was that Jamaican rum. And he told us to put down drinking. He asked us to put down drinking. And Apostle, I want you to address this on the other side of the show. Sometimes God gives us instructions, and we ain't do the first thing he said to do. And I want you to talk about that being a Christian, you're dealing with a life full of instructions. And God will always give us. Apologize to your wife. Have a heart-to-heart with your children. Go ahead and make your wrongs right. So talk about that on the second half as our callers call in, because we have a good line of people that call into this show. Again, caller, press number one if you want to be on the air, if you have a question for Apostle, or if you have a thought that you would like to share today. But Apostle, address that with the instructions from God, how he'll always speak to us, sometimes even through that still small voice.
God does not take time to... People say, I don't want to be saved. I don't want to live holy because I can't have no fun. I beg to differ from that. Because right now, I'm having more fun than I ever had in my life.
Come on.
I realized the toilet bowl was not made for my face. Because I drank myself into a sickness.
Jesus.
I'm having fun.
You speaking to somebody.
I don't have to sit down and argue with my wife that I spent all my money at the Coke man's house. I'm having fun right now. I'm having fun. That we're not cussing each other out and doing these things that come with sin. See what we don't understand. The devil, he starts off with, you could just do a little bit. You could do a little bit of weed. You could drink a little. Just have a shot. Just have a glass of this or whatever. You can smoke a little bit of weed. You can sniff a little bit of cocaine. You can go to the club once a week or once a month, and it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. God ain't gonna kill you. No, he ain't gonna kill you. He ain't gonna kill you. But see, what the problem is the devil don't stop with have a little. He's not gonna be happy until he have you full grown, until you was just a shot. Now you're drinking a whole fifth. It was just a total weed. Now you buying bags and half an ounce. It was just you was just sniffing a little bit of cocaine, you know, just once or twice a little too for the weekend. Now you have spent all your rent money, all your food money, all the kids' clothes money. See, that's where the devil wants you. He don't just start with a little bit. He wants all of you. Just like God wants all. Just like a woman wants all. Just like a man wants all. Everybody wants all. Nobody wants part of nothing. That's what we're in. Nobody wants part of nothing. God don't want part of you. The devil don't want part of you. Your husband don't want part of you. Your wife don't want part of you. Everybody wants all.
All of you.
And they're not satisfied. They're not satisfied until you get all. And so you have to make up your mind, what am I going to give? Who am I going to give my all to?
That's a question for us today. And you know, some marriages are struggling. Some of our single people who are on the line are saying, when God and why God? And you're so on to something because, you know, the wages of sin is death. And God is taking this broadcast in a whole other direction. And as you said something that I thought about a scripture, all things are permissible. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. The Apostle Paul said that. Yeah, there are certain things we can do, and quote-unquote is not sin. But is it helping you? Is it adding to you? Is it benefiting you? Is it making your Christian life stronger and better? Yeah, a lot of things, you know, sometimes a Christian walked the tightrope, and they say, well, I ain't in blatant sin, but I'm going to walk this little gray area. Just to keep it safe, I ain't fully in the enemy's camp, but I'm going to come close enough because I don't want to leave all the fun. And that's what you talk about, reckless abandonment from our former life. You know, and I always say there's an exchange. When God called us by his name, when God called us in, again, it's a process. We're all on different roads, different journeys. But as you said, we need to realize that God's plan is so much better than the enemy's plan. And what God has for us, he don't want us to be in debt. He don't want us to be sick. He don't want our marriages to end up in divorce. He want our churches to thrive and be effective in our communities. But we got to line up with his will. So please just elaborate on that a little more. God sees the big picture. He's just waiting for us to say yes over the little stuff.
Okay, I want to read Ephesians. We're going in. I pray that it's okay, because I wanted to deal with relationships and marriages as well. And Pastor Anthony has kind of opened the door, so let's go all the way in. Ephesians, 5th chapter, the first verse says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now listen to this closely. Once again, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given himself as an offering. He's given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Third verse, but fornication, watch this now. Watch this. Here we go. I didn't make this up. I'm reading it. Get your Bible. Read Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We're at the 3rd verse. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it be once, let it not. There's that big word there. Let it not be once named amongst you, but as becoming saints. Okay? So now, with that in mind, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new.
Yes.
My personal, this is something the Lord just spoke to me the last maybe week or so ago. Because even now, as confident and as strong that my walk with God is, the devil still tempts and tries and says things. And so he comes to me, and he says, well, why don't you go back to doing this? Go back to doing that. And so the Lord told me, he says, when the devil comes to you and says that to you, you tell him, that man is dead. The man that used to do that, he's dead. So I can't do that because he's dead. I can't go back to that person because that person is dead. He no longer exists. There's nothing for me to go back. There's a song that says, I can't go back, I won't go back. Well, if you're a new creature in Christ, then there is no back to go to. Because it's been done away with. It's not that. It don't exist no more. You can't go back to that person because that person does not exist. From the day that you give your life to the Lord, you're a new creature. I'm a new person.
Wow.
I'm new. This is my birthday.
Wow.
My birthday is not in 1959. My birthday is when I gave my life to the Lord. So now there's nothing to go back to because I'm a new man. I'm a new creature, and we have to watch this. One of the messages that the church has preached in error is that you can be saved in sin. That's not the word. That's not the word. The word tells us to be saved from sin.
Wow.
In other words, you can't be saved and continue sinning. That's not the word. The word says Jesus came to save us from our sins.
Yes.
Not in our sins. otherwise, in Hebrews, he said, then now you're making this whole crucifixion, the death of Christ, of none effect.
Wow.
He ain't gonna die every time you get saved, every time you fall. He ain't getting back up on that cross. He said before he left, it is finished. I'm done. I'm not getting back up there.
My God, my God.
You can't keep putting him back on the cross. He ain't going back up. You got to give up on that cross, and you got to die to your flesh.
Jesus. Apostle, you said something so powerful, and I just want you to share a little bit more in that area. You said you've been around a while. The enemy know you're strong in the things of God. But yet the devil still tempts you with a voice to say go back to some things.
Yeah,
that
he's gonna keep doing it.
Come
because
on, talk
one
to
day
us.
He
us. Yeah, talk to us.
One, he figured if I keep pushing it, maybe one day you will take the bait.
Wow.
Then all of what God has done because the thing about it is, the devil is not your friend. He's not your friend. If he can stop who God called us to be, that's what he's out to do.
Yes.
If he can stop it, and it'll just be my, you know, like they say, my luck that the day that I go out there, it'll be the day that I die. Now the Bible says, whatever state you found in, honey, where's that scripture? Whatever state you found in, Revelations, whatever state you found in, however you died, that's where you're going to be. So if you die a saint, you're going to die as a saint. No, Ezekiel. Back in Ezekiel, he says, if a righteous man live his life righteous, and then that day that you decide to commit sin, that you go back, all of your righteousness will be forgotten, and you will be counted as a sinner.
My.
Yeah. What my wife is saying, Revelations 2:22-11, who is holy, let him be holy still. Who is righteous, let him be righteous still. Who is unsinful still, what sinful, let him be sinful still. Whatever the state the Lord finds you in when he calls you, because he is the discerner. Are you living saved because you want fire insurance, or are you living saved because you love God?
You're so on to something, because a lot of people, you know, we want to argue, like you said earlier in the broadcast, we think God is trying to take something from us, our fun, entertainment, the things that make us, our personality. God wants to make our life better. And you said something so powerful, sometimes even in marriage, where he said the two shall become one flesh.
I looked at that, and God took me all the way back to where he put Adam asleep and removed the rib, and he said, bone of my bone. And the marriage is supposed to be like that. In other words, become one flesh, because it all came out of Adam in the first place. And God wants us to be one in him. When Jesus prayed in John, the 17th chapter, he talked about me and the Father are one. And he wants us to become that oneness with him and God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we got the victory over sin. We got the victory over our former life. We have the victory over past thoughts that try to haunt us. Please remind the caller. Callers, call in. Call in. I know you're listening. Apostle, you have so much wisdom, so much godly insight. We have a full switchboard. People are listening. They are taking to heart what you are saying today, what you are sharing today. We have mature believers who want to grow in the things of God, and I'm hoping they call in. But even if they don't, I thank God that people are receiving. People are listening, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. And all you've given us is scripture. It's not your opinion. Everything you share today is based on the word. That's why you readily go to the word to back up your point. So just remind us, because he said, I give you blessings, curses, life and death. Choose life. Why should we choose blessings? Mm-hmm. Why should we choose life?
Okay, just like you said, I'm reading from Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Those of you who want to follow me in your Bibles, Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I'm going now to the 4th verse. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. All right, go down to the 9th verse. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all godly goodness and righteousness and in truth. All right, turn the page. Go down to the 22nd verse. Now, this is the same chapter. It says, submitting yourselves one to another. Uh-oh. Now we're going to another phase. We're talking this whole chapter. Watch this. This whole chapter is talking about not only your relationship with God, but your relationship with your husband and your wife.
man, oh man.
See that? See what it says? Because I feel when a lot of people they want to start at the 22nd. Says why I submit? Oh no. I like to start at the 21st. It says submitting yourselves. See, if you can't submit to God, then you will not be able to submit to your husband or to your wife.
Jesus.
And submission has gotten a bad rap. The word submission is not a weakness, it's a strength.
Say that again.
Submission is not a weakness, it's a strength. We think, oh, I ain't submitting to nobody. Because, no, that's not what submission is. That's not what submission is. Submission is not going to make you a punk. Submission is not going to make you a softy. It's not going to make you a wook because you submit.
Right.
I'm talking to the men now.
Yes, talk to the men.
Submission says, honey, this is what I want to do. But if that's what you want to do, we're going to do what you want to do rather than what I want to do. I'm going to let you go ahead. We're going to do what you want to do because I'm submitting one to another. So it's give and take. I submit this time, then next time, okay, maybe she submits that time. Well, honey, okay, if you want to really do this, then that's what... That's what my wife looking back at me. You did it this time. Okay, I'm gonna do it the next time. You submitted to me. Now I'm gonna submit to you. We're gonna do what you wanna do. I heard Michael Freeman say. He said, "I'm the man of my house, and we're gonna do." Yes, I got the bottom word. I got the last word in my house. And my word is we're going to do whatever my wife say we're going to do. That don't take away from you.
Yes, yes.
That doesn't take away from you as a man. It makes you stronger as a man. It's my way or the highway. No, that's the wrong attitude, sir.
I was speaking to a young man, and he said from dating young ladies on, he was told to control his woman, and every relationship he had failed. He was out there doing what he thought the world wanted him to do, but as you said, with over 50% of marriages ended in divorce, we need to try some new principles. We need to get some new godly insight. Half the marriages are ending in divorce. Obviously, something's not working. And you said submission is not a weak word. A lot of men, you know, they look at the Nation of Islam and they say they see strength. They look at Christianity and they see weakness. God allows our free will to be done. He will not force your hand. He's a gentleman. He said, "I stand at the door and knock. And if you let me in, I come in." He doesn't invade our space. He doesn't invade our territory. But he does remind us that we have been bought with a price, the price of his son shed blood. So you've been bought with a price. Guess what? There was a cost for your soul. We didn't come cheap, Apostle. So
I think
we need to look at Christianity that way, that we need to look at the price that was paid for us.
I want to read something. The Holy Ghost gave me a shining light on. I've never seen this before. And I guarantee you that are familiar with the Bible, you've never seen this before. But I was meditating and studying this week for today. The Lord took me to Luke, the first chapter. Never seen this. Okay, so you know, okay, fifth verse is, "In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her husband, her name was Elizabeth. And they, watch this, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all his commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Okay, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed, watch this, the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, was his lot was to burn incense, and when he went into the temple of the Lord, watch this, the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of instance. We'll go down to the 13th verse. It says, "And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Go back up. What was Zacharias? He was the priest, not only of his house, but in the temple. His wife. They were walking together, doing things, and so then when we don't watch this, brothers, misters, sirs, men of God, when we do not honor our wives the way that God says to honor them and respect them and to do right by them, then the Bible says your prayers have, the heavens become brass, so that your prayers are not heard by God. But because he did what was right, because Zacharias did what was right in the presence of God, then the Lord spoke to him and said, "I heard your prayer. Now what you really want, I'm going to give it to you, which is a son." Even in her barren age. New Testament, Abraham and Sarah. The Lord is doing. So when our, watch this. When our life and when our life with our spouses become as of unto God, then God hears your prayer. He will answer your prayer. He'll do for you what you expect, what you're asking him to do. But you got to find, first line up with that wife.
Jesus.
Come on, man. Let's don't jump on the women. Let's don't jump on the women and leave the men alone. No, brothers, we got to tighten up, man. We got to tighten up. If you want God, because just like the head of the man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Well, see, that man got to walk like Christ walked.
Wow.
We want to tell the woman how to tighten up. No, we need to tell the brothers. Brothers, we got to tighten up. We got to tighten up. We got to walk. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. So much so that he gave his life. How many of us are willing to get? Okay, y'all more than welcome to call in. Call in. Press that one. Come on, let's talk about it. Come on,
yeah,
brothers.
We got a full line of callers today, and you, what you're sharing is so powerful about this walk. This warfare. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. But what you're sharing is so powerful because it's the word of God. And his word will not come back void, but it shall accomplish mm-hmm. that he sent it to do. And a lot of people, they're trying to stay married. They're trying to stay saved and holy in their singleness until God sends them a spouse. And even people who are called to bring wealth into the kingdom, they know God has that call on their life to be benefactors someday. And as you started out this show, you talked about that ta-da moment. Speak a little bit. We got another half hour left. Come on, callers, call in. Share what's on your heart. This is just a powerful show today. We talked about marriage. We talked about holiness. We talked about the church and the mandate on the church of today. We talked about life. Apostle Amica has experienced success in so many areas of life, and the word works. I know the devil trying to lie to you and remind you and say the word is not working for you, but if you look at your life and you walk a little closer, the word does work. I just think of my own walk, and sometimes people call me and they're struggling with addiction, they're struggling with their marriage, they're struggling with life, and I point them right to the word. Because the word is effective and powerful. And I knew Apostle Amica would bring forth the word. And Apostle, our callers, like I said, they're listening. We have callers, they're listening. And come on, callers, press one. Apostle, want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Pastor Rebecca, we want to hear from you. Call in and join in. Just press one. And if you have any questions for us today, or if you have something you want to interject into this conversation, there's so much wisdom. Because Apostle, you said something so powerful. Habakkuk 2:2 says, though it tarry, wait for it. It shall surely come.
Mm-hmm.
Write the vision down,
mm-hmm.
make it plain. And you said something
mm-hmm.
so powerful. Zechariah and Elizabeth was beyond childbearing years, but then God said, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Just speak to that
mm-hmm.
person who think it's too late.
This is my saying now. As long as God keeps making tomorrows, it's not too late. As long as when he stops making tomorrows, then you got a problem. But as long as he's making, it might not come today, it might not come tomorrow, but it will come. It will come. And what really God is waiting for is how fast will you mature to it? How fast will you mature to it? How fast would you come up to the place that God has for you to come up to? That I can give it to you. I can give some. The reason why some men are not receiving that wife. Proverbs says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Let me say this. The Bible did not say he that findeth a woman findeth a good thing. Because you can find a woman anywhere. You can go to any beauty parlor today and you can find women. Go to a nail salon, you can find women. Go to the mall, you can find women. But that's not what you want. You want a wife. And what you're looking for, Lord, who is that person that you have ordained? Who is my, okay, thank you. Let's say it that way. In Pastor Anthony terminology, who is that Eve? Who is that bone of my bone? Who is that rib of my rib? Who is that person? That's what you need to look for. You don't need to look for a woman. You need to look for your Eve, that person that God has made especially for you. And then you found your good thing. You found your wife. And a lot of people, the reason why God is not giving you that person yet, because you're not ready for it.
Wow. Say that. You are
not ready for it. You are not ready. You're too set in your ways. You want to have things your way. You want stuff to be done. And you, here you are bringing in another person with another mind, another brain, another whatever. This is another person. So you're going to have to, it's not going to be your way all the time. That's why you got to submit.
Yes. Yes.
You might want the bed made. Here's a real common one. Toothpaste. There's more fights over the way that toothpaste is extracted from the toothpaste tube. I've seen couples on their way to divorce court about toothpaste.
My God. Help us, God. help us.
How long it pumps from the bottom? He likes to squeeze it from the top. What are you going to do? You like it this way, she like it that way. She's been raised doing it this way, you've been raised doing it that way. You're both right. But you're telling her she's wrong because she don't do it the way you do it? You're wasting time. Go buy two tubes of toothpaste. Go to the dollar store and buy two tubes of toothpaste. This way you do it your way and she do, but you're not ready for that. You'd rather sit here and argue about toothpaste.
Yeah, that's when the deceiver comes in. Like, you know, sometimes we are stubborn. We're stuck in our ways. And God, Pastor Rebecca taught a Bible study this Wednesday, and one of the things she emphasized was to humble ourselves. In other words, God has a way of humbling us. I can just speak for Anthony Simmons. He was trying to get my attention for many a years, and he did something that humbled me. I don't think he wanted to do it, but it humbled me, Apostle. And I've been humbled ever since. That was about two decades ago. And God tells us through the Bible to humble yourself.
Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Come on. So
humble
share with
yourself.
That
Go
we,
ahead,
we
sir.
Have the ability. Talk to us that we have the ability to do things that we don't even think we can do.
Oh yeah, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Pray, seek the Lord, walk holy before God, and God will, He will teach us. He's a teacher. Like I said, the Holy Ghost is used. The Holy Ghost is good for more than just running up and down the aisle, sha ta 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 ta. There's so much more to Him than just that. He's a teacher. He's a guide. He'll teach you things. He'll show you things. He'll explain things to you. He'll reveal things to you. He'll open up. He'll tell you, you know what? The Holy Ghost will even teach you how to cook.
Jesus.
He'll teach you how to cook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's nothing that the Holy Ghost is not incapable of doing. He's capable of doing everything. That's why we need him so much. He tells you how to treat your wife. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a couple of hands raised, and we're about 45 minutes left in the show. We're going to put this call on the air. Caller 908, I'm going to put you on the air in just a moment. Caller 862, I see your hand raised.
You know that's me, baby. Hey.
Oh, glory be to God.
I'm calling you powerful, 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 powerful. I had to leave the broadcast. I was called out of the studio for a few minutes, but what I heard while I was in transit, I mean, it's just so powerful. God is definitely requiring holiness from us during the season, and that comes from a heart of love, you know, because when we love him, like Jesus said, we will obey his commandments. You know, and it's just so important that the people of God, you know, all of you who are listening, who listen to us on a regular basis, and even those who called in because of our very special guest today, you know that we always encourage you, fall in love with Jesus. You know, fall in love with Jesus before you fall in love with your boo, or before you fall in love with, you know, you know, Bobo and you know, if you fall in love with Jesus, we will do anything. Apostle Amica, you know, when you first fell in love with your wife, there, and even to this day, there's nothing you wouldn't do for her, you know. And God wants us to just do this. And I know you're the same way about Jesus, even more so about God. And, you know, it's just my belief that to just strongly repeat that, you know, we have to fall in love all over again. Go back to our first verse. You know, he says in Revelation, we've forgotten our first love. You know, we've forgotten our first love. Go back to your first love. All that other stuff and people, they're going to disappoint you and let you down every time. And those are, you know, our sins are wrapped around people and stuff. You know, the lust of the eye, you know, the desire of what we want. You know, I want it, I want it, I want it. But if we give God what he wants, that he will give us what we want. He will give us what to want. I always tell people, God will tell us what to want. You know, he'll tell you what to desire. And your desires will line up with his word. Powerful, powerful, Apostle Amica.
Prophet is respond to that, and we're going to put on another caller.
Prophet has just said something. More than what I said, the whole hour and 40 minutes. She said, now, this is to you that are looking and searching for a husband and a wife. Watch their love walk with God.
Wow.
Before you say anything to them, before you do anything, watch their love walk with God. Because if they don't love God, they ain't going to love you.
Oh, that is so
good. It's plain and simple. If you won't love God, you will not love me. But see, the problem is, because you get the cart before the horse, you go in and you get into the flesh. You done jumped into something in the flesh, and now you're infatuated with the flesh, and you're not looking to see whether or not they love God. Because now when the same man that you, who's your boo, now he's calling you beans and this and all kind of stuff and slapping you upside your head, punching you in your mouth. You didn't stop to see whether or not they love God. Because the Bible says no man will bring bodily harm to himself. If he love you, he ain't going. If he love God, you, watch this, you are my sister in the Lord before you are my wife.
That is so powerful, Apostle. And the scriptures reminds me, no man after the flesh, but after the spirit.
There you go.
My God.
In our premarital classes, we tell couples, during the engagement, we're all on our best behavior.
But you
better really watch people in the flesh and watch them, as my wife just said, and they walk with God. Well, actually, we had three hands now, and with about 20 minutes left, I want to put these callers through. Area code 858, you are on the air. What's on your heart today? Area code 858. Yes. Hello? 908? Hallelujah.
Pastor, that was, they heard you. What is the area code? 908?
Area code 908. Are you there?
Your hand Hello? Raised.
Yes. Yes,
Hello?
We can hear you. Yes, we can hear you. Area code 858? 908? Okay, maybe they pressed they hand by mistake.
Yeah, maybe they pressed by mistake. But while you're waiting, do you have another caller?
Yes, area code 908-422. You're on the air. What's on your heart
today? Yes, God bless Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca and Apostle. This is Sister Daniela.
God bless
you. God bless you.
I just wanted to say a comment and also a question. My thing is, you know, being that the years I've been saved since 1998, and in between the years I was a backslider, but I thank God on today that I made up in my mind that I want to live saved as a Christian woman, and also my husband, that he's trying his best, and I see my husband more, you know, praying and reading more of the Word. I thank God for that. You know, through the years that I, with the walk of my life, in my Christian life, I have seen, you know, and I'm not judging, I'm just like, you know, concerned and, you know, questioning why is it that, you know, you got some Christians, they, you know, they go to church on Sundays, but then when Monday through Saturday comes, they want to live like a dog. And, you know, the other thing is, I, you know, when I'll be outside or, you know, taking care of business, I see, you know, some Christians, they go to church and they go into Bible study or they're about to go to service and they're playing tickets and they want to go to a liquor store. And, you know, that's like a question mark. Why do, you know, some of the Christians do that? You know, do they have fear in God? We're supposed to have fear in God, you know. That's my question.
Apostle Amica, can you address that comment?
Yes. Ecclesiastics, Ecclesiastics 8th chapter and the 11th verse says, because sentence, no. No, okay, let's go to the 10th verse. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city, wherefore they had so doing. This is also vanity. Because sentence, this is where I'm going, because sentence against evil works is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil. So because God does not kill us immediately, and as we were talking earlier, they're going, oh, we're covered in grace. Yes, you're covered in grace, but one thing you have to remember, grace has a deadline on it. And so as the sister said, she said the reason, she said that, gave us the definition, she said, my mind is made up to walk holy, to live before God. So because people have not made up their mind, church is no longer than a no more. This whole thing is just no more than just going to church on Sunday and living like the devil. On. So people want one foot in and one foot out. They want to be able to do the things in the flesh and yet say that they're in the family of God. You're not. I stand firmly to say you're not. You're not, because he said either I would have you to be hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be in the middle. You got to be either on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence. Either you're in or you're not. And it's so bad because so many churches are filled with people that are straggling the fence. And they think that's just, you're not going to make it in. I'm sorry, but you're not going to make it in.
Wow, no, nobody's talking like that. And what you talked about when Jesus walked the earth, you know, my mind was wondering, you know, the Pharisees, sometimes he was a little harsh on them because they were so inundated with the law of the Leviticus law and the law of Deuteronomy, the law of Moses. So they talked about the Sabbath and religious practices. and Jesus tried to break that mindset. But they were so religious. They were so religious that Jesus was like, the stubbornness of your heart. God is concerned with the heart. We can fool each other all day, and God knows our heart.
And can I say this?
Yeah, go ahead, Pastor.
And can I say this? You know, I mean, Sister Daniela said, you know, she was saved a long time, and she had backslidden, and now she's, you know, made up her mind to walk and try to live holy, live holy. But the thing about it is, exactly, ta-da, you know, I mean, at some point, you got to make up your mind to stop wallowing with
the pigs.
You know, you got to make up your mind to obey God. You have to make up your mind not to be a backslider. At some point, you have to be bearing fruit. You know, Jesus said you will know them by their fruit. You know, at some point, you got to look like Christ, Christians, Christ ones. They were first called Christians in Antioch, the Christ ones. They knew who the Christ ones were because what? They looked like Christ. They acted like Christ. They talked like Christ. When we got to get there, we have to stop making excuses for bad behavior from Christians and really and really, you know, hammer home this message of holiness. God, he said, be holy for I am holy. And, yeah, he's the God of grace, yes. And he gives each and every one of us grace. None of us have a hell or a heaven to put each other in, but what we can do is exhort each other to good works. Exhort each other to good works. You know, say, look, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing.
That's it.
Do the right thing.
That's it.
Apostle, talk about that hypocrisy a little bit.
Well, you know, like you just said, in Jesus' day, there was a lot of people who are just religious. Religion is all simply means to practice something continually every day, the same thing. That's religion, and we can't be religious. Have you got good religion? No. God don't want religion. He wants us to live and to walk with him every day. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me daily. Daily. It's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. Some days you're gonna be on top of the world. Some days you're gonna feel like the world is on top of you. But regardless, keep walking. Keep moving. Keep doing it. Keep on. Keep on. You make mistakes. Nobody there's nowhere in the Bible that says that you know, you're going to get it all. But like Prophet has just said, ta-da, you know, after a process, then here we go. Now I'm that mighty man of God. Now you are that mighty woman of God. But it was a process, and we have to go through the process. Don't put your eyes on nobody else. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh. Don't put your eyes on me. Don't put your eyes on flesh, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eye. He's the one who was, watch what Jesus told him. He said, why you call me good? Ain't nobody good but the Father. Jesus said that. Why are you calling me good, Master? He said, don't call me that. Because he wants you to keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes. You're going to make mistakes. Prayerfully, you won't keep making the same mistakes over again, but you can. You can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I'm gonna try one more time to put this last caller through. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. Area code 908858. Did you have a comment or question? Amen. We're going to go right to area code 347. Area code 347, you are on the air. What's on your heart?
How you doing?
God bless you.
This is Apostle Amica's brother again.
Amen. Bless you, sir.
How you doing?
What's on your heart?
I was just listening to everything that was said and how basically, you know, I was reading in Jeremiah 18, how the potter took Jeremiah, or how God rather took Jeremiah down to the potter's house, and he showed him, you know, how the potter worked with the clay. You know, a lot of times we get scarred by different things that we go through in life. But as my brother said, you know, we go through things in life, you know, but as we get scarred in life, don't continue to get scarred. Because as he told the potter, when you made something fresh and new, when you made something that was fit for the kingdom, he said, as the potter did with the clay, he can do it with us.
Jesus.
We have to continue to be faithful and steadfast and know that we're in God's hands.
Amen. Amen. Apostle,
I can preach all day on that, man.
I'm about to preach that tomorrow. Amen.
Yeah. Because you got to get on. You got to be willing to get on that wheel. We got to be willing to get on that wheel. And the Bible says that even in that scripture it says the potter, he looked at it. Nah, that ain't right. So he went back, mashed it up, and started working again. And so then when he finished, he said, look, you have a beautiful vessel here, fit for the master's use. Now we put some paint on you, and we'll polish you up. And even so, in Malachi, he says, when I make up my jewels, he said, you should be mine. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, read the first, have the tithes and the offering, but keep on reading down. He says, when I make up my jewels, and this is what God will do for us on that wheel, he'll make us jewels, beautiful jewels that people are like, wow, look at that. That's why diamonds, watch this. The greater the value of the diamond means the greater the pressure the diamond will. Too much is given, much is required. That's not money. That's your to who God gives you much revelation, much power in the Holy Ghost. It's much required of you. So you got to get on that wheel. You got to get on that wheel and let him spin and let him make you and let him cut. Let him cut away. That's what he's doing. He's cutting away. He's folding, fashioning and molding and making. He's cutting away you. That's what he want to do. He want to beat the hell out of you.
Jesus. Wow,
that's what you want to do. A powerful apostle with about 5 minutes left. We want you to share the final thing on your heart. But you know, even as we approach Thanksgiving, I know I'm thankful and grateful for so many things, and I believe our callers are thankful and grateful for so much. I think about the 10 lepers he healed, and only one came back, and he said, "What happened to the other 9?" I'm thankful for my wife, my life, my family, the church family, my job, my health, just so much. And just share, you know, even as we talked about so many this thing that twists and turns today, why should we be so grateful? Even with our messed up selves, sometimes we miss it, sometimes we backslide. We've heard everything on this show from backsliding to missing the mark. Why should we still be grateful to God?
Because he's still giving us a chance. That's the number one reason. Because God is still giving us a chance. Every day that we wake up, he's giving you a chance. He continues to give you a chance to get it right. He's giving us a chance to get it right. And that's what we have to do. One day at a time. Take it one day at a time, but get it right. Be thankful. Thankful, Lord. You know what, Lord? I didn't do quite good today, but I'm still trying. Thank you that you're still giving me a chance. You didn't cut us off in the midst of our sins. Thank you for everything. Watch what's going on, because there's a lot of stuff that's happening, and I wish we had time to get into that. But you see, Palestine is fighting against Israel. That's a major, 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 major sign that Jesus is soon to come. It's a major soon, major sign, major sign. So keep watching what God is doing. And as a church, we have to press in. Keep on moving in so we can please God, because he's about to come back for us. He's about to come back for us. And I want us to make it. I want to thank you, prophetess and pastor, for allowing me this space. I love you. Happy Thanksgiving to all that are listening. Happy Thanksgiving. Continue to be thankful. And continue to be thankful, not for what you have or don't have, but be thankful for who you are. God bless you.
Wow. Amen. Wow, we thank you. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Pastor.
We thank you so much for being with us today, Apostle Amica. And you got to come back, you know, just to spend some time. I feel, you know, almost cheated because I didn't get to be here the whole time. So you're going to have to come back early next year and just, or either 1 month in December and just be our guest again for an hour and talk to us about something else, because it's so refreshing to hear from you and even to meet your brother. I believe his name is Victor.
Right.
What a blessing. What a blessing to meet him and to know that your mom and dad left a godly heritage, you know, here on this earth, godly seed,
yeah,
that are really following God and giving God the glory in their lives, you know, no matter what the circumstances, still giving God the glory. And that's just so powerful. And you guys blessed me today. I know you came to be our guest, and he was a special blessing to me, especially on today. So I just thank God for you and the family and your wife, and I'm, you know, looking forward to meeting. And I just thank God for you, sir, and your obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. And Apostle, we thank God for you. You preached that new creation. You blessed us, our local church, and now you're blessing us through the internet airways. And we thank God for you and your wife, your family, your ministry. We pray Godspeed with you and your endeavors as you go forward with the things of God. Your hands are to the plow. Don't look back, because God has a harvest for you in the name of Jesus. And I shared
the
Christmas that my wife shared. It's been ordained by God for us to be in each other's lives. And we love you. We thank God for you. And we appreciate you. Thank you for stopping by the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show. And we thank God for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you again. Thank you again. Thank
Amen.
You again. We're going.
Amen. We got 1 minute left. We're going to play a song. And happy Thanksgiving. Honey, is there anything else you have?
Amen. I love you guys, everybody. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Continue to spread the word about the Woman to Woman to Man show. Let's make it number one internationally, because God has to get the glory.